Blackstone Audio presents The Poor Clare by Elizabeth Cleghorn Gaskell. This book is read by Derek Perkins. Chapter 1. December the 12th, 1747. My life has been strangely bound up with extraordinary incidents, some of which occurred before I had any connection with the principal actors in them, or indeed, before I even knew of their existence. I suppose most old men are, like me, more given to looking back upon their own career with a kind of fond interest and affectionate remembrance than to watching the events, though these may have far more interest for the multitude, immediately passing before their eyes. If this should be the case with the generality of old people, how much more so with me? If I am to enter upon that strange story connected with poor Lucy, I must begin a long way back. I myself only came to the knowledge of her family history after I knew her, but to make the tale clear to anyone else, I must arrange events in the order in which they occurred, not that in which I became acquainted with them. There is a great old hall in the northeast of Lancashire, in a part they call the Trough of Bolland, adjoining that other district named Craven. Starkey Manor House is rather like a number of rooms clustered round a grey, massive old keep than a regularly built hall. Indeed, I suppose that the house only consisted of a great tower in the centre, in the days when the Scots made their raids terrible as far south as this, and that after the Stuarts came in and there was a little more security of property in those parts, the Starkeys of that time added the lower building, which runs two stories high, all round the base of the keep. There has been a grand garden laid out in my days on the southern slope near the house, but when I first knew the place, the kitchen garden at the farm was the only piece of cultivated ground belonging to it. The deer used to come within sight of the drawing-room windows and might have browsed quite close up to the house if they had not been too wild and shy. Starkey Manor House itself stood on a projection or peninsula of high land, jutting out from the abrupt hills that form the sides of the Trough of Bolland. These hills were rocky and bleak enough towards their summit. Lower down they were clothed with tangled copsewood and green depths of fern, out of which a grey giant of an ancient forest tree would tower here and there, throwing up its ghastly white branches as if in imprecation to the sky. These trees, they told me, were the remnants of that forest which existed in the days of the Heptarchy, and were even then noted as landmarks. No wonder that their upper and more exposed branches were leafless, and that the dead bark had peeled away from sapless old age. Not far from the house there were a few cottages, apparently of the same date as the keep, probably built for some retainers of the family who sought shelter, they and their families and their small flocks and herds, at the hands of their feudal lord. Some of them had pretty much fallen to decay. They were built in a strange fashion. Strong beams had been sunk firm in the ground at the requisite distance, and their ends had been fastened together, two and two, so as to form the shape of one of those rounded, wagon-headed gypsy tents, only very much larger. The spaces between were filled with mud, stones, osiers, rubbish, mortar, anything to keep out the weather. The fires were made in the centre of these rude dwellings, a hole in the roof forming the only chimney. No Highland hut or Irish cabin could be of rougher construction. The owner of this property, at the beginning of the present century, was a Mr. Patrick Byrne Starkey. His family had kept to the old faith and were staunch Roman Catholics, esteeming it even a sin to marry anyone of Protestant descent, however willing he or she might have been to embrace the Romish religion. Mr. Patrick Starkey's father had been a follower of James II, and during the disastrous Irish campaign of that monarch, he had fallen in love with an Irish beauty, a Miss Byrne, as zealous for her religion and for the Stuarts as himself. He had returned to Ireland after his escape to France and married her, bringing her back to the court at Saint-Germain. But some license on the part of the disorderly gentlemen who surrounded King James in his exile had insulted his beautiful wife and disgusted him, so he removed from Saint-Germain to Antwerp, whence, in a few years' time, he quietly returned.